Thank you for being here. I hope you're already there in Psalm 34. I'm going to start a new series these next 3 weeks, a little short series called on God's goodness. And so it's going to have the question mark, is God really that good? Is God really that good? Because sometimes we say God is good all the time what God is good. And sometimes we just say it, but do we really understand the goodness of God, even in crazy times like this? Because sometimes when you go through crazy times, you doubt His goodness, don't you? We start asking, why? Why are we going through all this turmoil? Why are we going through all this fear and anxiety? Why are we going through this virus? Why are we going through all the uncertainty? Why are we going through toilet paper now at $14 a roll? As of last night, people are going crazy. They're expecting another wave of this virus. And it could very well possibly happen. We're seeing a little spike. So sometimes people ask the question, why? Why are we going through this? If God is really so good, then why is He allowing us to go through all of this? In the midst of a crazy year and a crazy week weather-wise, it started off 80 degrees. Then it went down to below freezing. Then it rained, and now we have a big windstorm outside. We have Thanksgiving coming up as well. So this time should help us remind ourselves of God's goodness, right? We see the people bringing in the harvest. We see the farmers working hard. We see the corn coming in, the beans coming in. And it's like a celebration of what God has given to us, right? And so it should cause us to be thankful even when we don't see God's goodness or feel God's goodness. We should know about God's goodness. Amen? So let's just start with a definition of God's goodness. It's the state or quality of being good, moral excellence, virtue, kindly feeling, kindness, or generosity. So if God is good, then that simply means that He's constantly in the state of being good. He never stops being good, right? And so He is love, right? So He never stops loving. He is good, so therefore He never stops being good. So that simply means if God is good, then every day that I live, guess what happens? His goodness comes my way. Every single day that we live. Psalm 23:7, many of us know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? But sometimes we forget verse 7. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because God, our shepherd, is good. And His mercy follows us. He bestows His goodness all the time. Notice Psalm 31:19. David says, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you." Now notice that verse. God has goodness stored up for you. And He wants to bestow it to you publicly in the sight of men because He's good. Amen. Now, do you believe that? He has so much stored up for you. Not only in this life, but in the next life to come, right? That's the real goodness. This goodness is tainted with stuff down here, right? But I love Tozer's quote, "The greatness of God versus the goodness of God." How great, David said, how great is your goodness? But Tozer says this, "The greatness of God rouses fear within us, but the goodness of God encourages our spirits." Isn't it awesome to know that our God is for us and that He is good and He bestows good on us every single day that we live? He has it in store, just waiting to give it to you each day. And so in Psalm 34, I love what David does in the midst of a crazy moment in his life. And we're going to study this moment. in the midst of his writing the Psalms, he shares a lot of his emotions. You ever read the Psalms and you're like, man, David is like pouring out his heart. He's talking about his fears. He's talking about everything that's going on in his life. And it seems like the world is being shaken all around him. But he always gets recentered. You ever notice that he always gets recentered with his emotions? And sometimes we have to do that as well. And so in Psalm 34, David gives us some tips, four tips on getting recentered back on God's goodness and on his love. Last week we looked at refocusing in an anxious world. Today we're going to get recentered in a crazy world. How to get recentered. Number one, notice the context here of Psalm 34. In my Bible it says, David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. Does your Bible say that? That little phrase there in front of Psalm 34? Now think about this. This is a crazy moment in David's life. David is running from Saul, right? He left his wife back home. He's running from her dad, his father-in-law, who was king. Saul wanted to kill him. He said goodbye to Samuel, his dear friend. He said goodbye to the high priest, Ahimelech. And he had barely any kind of provisions. He said goodbye to his dear friend, Jonathan, because David was running for his life from the King Saul. His emotions were probably at the very highest of his life. Things were just caving in. And he's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive out here by myself? He didn't have no provision. He had no weaponry. He went and got a Goliath sword from the high priest. He got a little bit of bread, and he's on the run. And he's trying to find refuge, a place to stay for shelter and protection. So he goes to the enemy camp. He goes to King Abimelech in the city of Gath, which is in the Philistines. And he goes, certainly they may find protection and befriend them and so on and so forth. But the king brings David in his presence. And David is now fearful of his life. He goes, this guy could kill me. What have I done? I just ran into the enemy territory because he whooped on the Philistines before all of this. And he says, this guy could kill me. And so he acts crazy in front of this king. Saliva coming out of his mouth. He's taking his fingernails and is going on the wood of the doors and the panels of the door. He's going completely insane in front of this king. And it's like, David, what are you doing? This is so not like you. This is like a period of his life where he probably looks back and is like, man, I wish I probably wouldn't have done that or responded in that way because I wasn't really trusting the Lord. I was afraid of this king. I was by myself. And so the king tells his men, he goes, don't I have enough madmen in my kingdom and now you bring another one before me? He goes, get this guy out of here. I don't want the crazy guy, this mad guy, acting like this. I'm so unimpressed with this David that just get him out of here. So I just want to make some observations from this story. You see, when your soul is calm, you can see crazy a mile away. You ever notice that? You can see crazy a mile away. When all of this virus hit back in spring break this year, I had a friend call me. He's like, hey, you need to go to the store because everything's out. I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is crazy. Go to the store. And he was right. People were crazy. Crazy. But when your soul is calm, you can spot it a mile away. When your soul is at peace, you don't have to be in turmoil, right? And when everything else around you is crazy, that doesn't mean you have to respond in crazy ways. David probably is like, what was I thinking? I shouldn't have acted crazy. Because his whole life was crazy, though. And sometimes we can justify our crazy responses because life's crazy, right? And David gets recentered in the Lord here. He writes Psalm 34 after this moment with this king. In 1 Samuel 21 and 22, in the first verse of 22, he says, David ran to the cave of Adullam, where he found refuge. And there in that cave, David probably penned this psalm after that whole event where he just acted crazy before the king. And notice he gives us several tips, four tips. Number one, relax and accept the crazy. You're like, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, we're going to find out that it is. This little phrase, relax and accept the crazy, came from a widow of our church. She was dealing with cancer for a whole year. I would go to see her often in her home, and she would have this wooden plaque above or kind of on the TV there, and off to the side there, she'd have these different little wooden plaques and sayings, and it says, relax and accept the crazy. Of course, she thought she was the crazy one. So just relax and accept the crazy, because she thought she was crazy. She had a great sense of humor, just a wonderful lady, and that was Beverly Means. And she's in heaven. But she was going through that cancer, and she would just remind herself, sometimes you just have to relax and accept all the craziness going on in your life. You don't understand it. Crazy to David was dealing with fears, afflictions, all kinds of troubles. We're going to see in Psalm 34, a broken heart and a crushed spirit. He mentions all of those terms in Psalm 34 that he was dealing with. I mean, he would just left his family on the run for his life. Could you imagine the emotions he was going through? He was tore up on the inside. How am I going to survive? And God says, just relax and accept the crazy. You see, Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know I am God. Andy's translation, relax and accept the crazy. Why? Because God is in control. God is still good in the midst of all the craziness, all the fears that we may have, all what may come as a result of these things. And so what David does in verse 1, he says, I will extol the Lord just when days are good. Is that what it says? It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Now what he does, he flips his situations, he flips his circumstances, and he turns them around to praise. You ever do that? It's a flip situation. When we're feeling anxious, Paul says, don't be anxious, but flip it into prayer with thanksgiving, right? You got to flip your thoughts into something different. And when we get to recenter, we got to flip our hearts into worship. When our emotions are down, we got to turn them to the Lord. Just when singing today, it probably helped you just relax, didn't it? That's what singing does to us. It just reminds us of God's goodness and faithfulness and why we're here. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is be still, right? It's to be still. To get our minds refocused, get our hearts recentered on the goodness of God, on the love of God, and the mercy of God, and in the presence of God. See, David went to this cave, and he was alone with God. And sometimes when we're looking for refuge, he was looking for physical shelter, but he really needed the Lord's presence, right? Isn't it amazing to know that we're always under the feathers of God, David says? He covers us with his feathers, Psalm 90. Isn't it an amazing thought? Like a hen, like an eagle over his chicklets, his eaglets. God has us covered. Good spot for an amen, right? Second one. Second tip, take the higher ground on choices to make. Take the higher ground on choices to make. Now, when we're emotionally distraught, there's a tension on how we should respond, right? Out of either frustration or anger, or should I be at peace and just quiet my soul and make higher level decisions? You ever feel that tension sometimes? Very much so, yes. And this is what David did. He took his emotions and he flipped them. He's like, I got to take the higher ground choices here. Notice verse 2, he goes, I'm going to choose to boast in the Lord. He says, my soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. He chose to what? Not only rejoice, but to call on the Lord, to seek the Lord. Because people were seeking after him. He goes, I'm going to flip the situation. I'm going to seek the Lord as people are seeking after me. Do you look to the Lord? Do you find refuge? Is your first thing to think about is how can I glorify God in this situation? How can I get others to rejoice in the midst of hard times? Do I call on him? Do I ask him for help? Because David knew the promise of God. Those who call on him, he will deliver us out of all our troubles. Isn't that an amazing thought? And here's the thing. He says in verse 19, a righteous man will have many troubles. So in essence, you better get learned to accepting trouble sometimes. But the Lord delivers us out of all our troubles. You see, God is more concerned about how we respond than what we go through. We're going to go through a lot of troublesome times, heartbreaking, crushing our spirit times, right? David went through that. Jesus went through that. So who are we not to go through that? Right? But we've got to learn to, hey, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to worship him. Because God is watching how I respond to what I'm going through. You see, don't make lower level, angry, upset, furious decisions. You ever made those kind of decisions before? And you've regretted each one of them, haven't you? You know, in a boxing match, when you hit below the belt, the referee goes, hey, take a point off of this guy that was below the belt. That was an illegal punch, right? He knocked him. He could have knocked him down or whatever. No, he hit him right there, you know, in a sore spot or below the belt spot. And guess what? Some of those guys are like, man, that just happened on live TV. I just got hit in a soft spot on live TV in this boxing match. But he says, I'm going to take a point away. And sometimes we have to choose in our hearts when we're going through stuff to make higher level decisions. Hey, I'm going to take the fight to where it needs to go. Instead of doing lower level punches down here. Follow me? When life hands you lemons, do you squeeze or do you cut the lemons to make lemonade? Notice verses 11 to 16. David is going to teach us some higher level wisdom in responding to different things. Notice verse 11, he says, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. To cut off the memory of them from the earth. Now the amazing thing is simply this. Not only does David quote that for us, teaching us wisdom and how to respond to things, Peter in 1 Peter 3 quotes this same passage to Christians who are going through some crazy times. So God is like, hey, I'm mentioning this twice in the Bible. Please adhere to it. Right? So he talks about how many of you would love to see many good days? How many? He's like, all of us probably would, right? But he says, but are you doing good? Are you seeking peace and pursuing that? Or are you being deceitful and lying and cheating and everything else? Doing lower level kind of responses. Thinking that God's not going to see or watch how we respond. David knew that God was good even when he wasn't experiencing it. You follow me? He had that solidified in his heart. The world was going crazy around him, but he's like, I'm going to get recentered before God because that's who I really need. Because when I have him, I'm the real me. My emotions are real. And I have his peace. I have his joy, right? But if we continue to make lower level choices in how we respond, life will only get harder and harder. Please learn this lesson. Well, how do we do that? How do we get refocused on things when we can't see it or feel it? Just look at the cross. Right? Just look at the cross. Let's show that slide there on the cross. When you see the cross, do you see good or do you see evil? Is the cross really a display of God's goodness to us? Because sometimes people see injustice, sometimes people see unfairness. Sometimes people see what's going on, they get angry when they see the cross. Or do you see God's goodness to us? That God would send his only son to die on that tree. And Jesus being willing to go there to die for you and me. That's the goodness of God, right? That's the awesomeness that God would give his life for us. And go through suffering in the midst of an unjust battle. That he would lay down his life. And sometimes we just have to resettle our souls right there at that spot. When life gets hard, just think of the cross. You've had a bad day, a bad week, bad month, think of the cross. Right? We've never had it that bad in our life. Amen. But that's a picture of God's goodness to us when life gets hard. Jesus made higher level choices for you and me. Because if I was to go to the cross, I would be fighting tooth and nail. But Jesus was a lamb led to the slaughter. He was quiet. But he died for you and me. The third point is this: take refuge in the Lord on a regular basis. Take refuge in the Lord on a regular basis. David was looking for a physical place to find shelter and refuge. So he went to this city, this under the king Abimelech, and what he really was really needing was to find refuge in the Lord. His heart was crushed, his dreams were gone, his purpose was altered. He just needed time for direction. He needed time to get protection and provisions. And so he goes to this cave to find shelter in the midst of all the storm that was going on around him. There was a family that took in this donkey. They adopted this donkey. They had horses and they adopted this donkey. It was a stray, and so they took him in. And donkeys are kind of known for their stubbornness, right? And so this donkey was sometimes stubborn, and so these people would took him in. They provided shelter and food for him. And many times they would watch him stay out in the rain and the snow and the storms and just get hammered. And this donkey would just stay out there, but these people would turn the lights on in the barn. They had hay in the barn, they had water in the barn, had oats in the barn, trying to get this donkey to, hey, come in and find refuge. Find some shelter. We have it already provided for you. Just come in out of the storm. But that donkey would never come. He just chose to stay out in the storm, fighting whatever is going to come his way. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we? David says, happy is the man who takes refuge in the Lord. Miserable is the man who stays out in the storm and the snow and the sleet and the rain, fighting the elements when there's shelter provided for you. Sometimes Jesus would often get away to a quiet place and just get recentered. Do that in the early morning. Just get his soul quiet. And sometimes that's the greatest thing we need to do as well. Just to get our soul quieted down a little bit. To take a refuge, a personal day, and just, has your heart been broken this year? Has your emotions been high? Has life been hard to you? Has your soul and mind been confused? Maybe your purpose, your dreams is like, it's all on hold right now. It's like, when's this thing going to be over? And God says, you know what, I got a place right over here for you. Amen. Got some water and some hay and some oats. Got the light on. It's like Motel 8. We'll leave the light on for you, right? And God says, hey, there's refuge, there's deliverance from all your troubles right over there. I heard this phrase here recently, give yourself the okay to go to the Lord for comfort and shelter. Amen. It's okay. Turn yourself in. Say, Lord, I'm need of your shelter. Because the storm around me is too big. I'm coming in. And notice verse 22. It says, no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Now think about that. David was probably condemning himself. I acted so stupid in front of this king. Here I am before the Lord. Lord saw all of that. But the Lord did not condemn him for his actions. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we're afraid to go to the Lord because of how we acted or responded to different things. And it's like, Lord, you'd be ashamed of me if I just came to you. And God's like, no, just get your butt out of the storm, right? Get in here. We'll take care of that later. He doesn't condemn those who take refuge in him. Notice these next few slides here. David says in Psalm 27:13, he says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's easy sometimes to just get that despairing attitude, right? Sometimes. But David says, you know what? I'm not going to despair. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Notice the next one. He says, return to your rest, O my soul. Why? For the Lord has been good to you. Amen. Return to rest, O my soul. Return to peace, O my soul. Let his goodness lift you up and encourage you. Then lastly, tip number 4, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's in this chapter, verse 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Tien, our secretary, does an amazing job. Sometimes she's very thoughtful, and so she got me a cup of coffee this week. And so she went to a place called Three Sisters, got this vanilla latte, and I was just like, well, I've never tried one from there. And she goes, oh, you probably like it. And so sometimes you're like, when it comes to coffee or different drinks, you're like, either you like it or you don't like it, right? And so took a sip of that, and I was just like, oh, man, is that good. So I'm putting a little tip out there for Three Sisters coffee, right? And so, so it was just like, oh, it just hits you. Sometimes when the taste hits your mouth and taste buds, sometimes it's like, oh, that's really good, right? And so sometimes you just have to taste and see the Lord's goodness. And how long has it been since you ate at his table? How long has it been? We look forward to, if Thanksgiving's not canceled, like Chicago, we look forward to eating, right, and celebrating God's goodness. We long for those tastes, not oyster dressing, though. That's good stuff. No, it's not. No. But sometimes we have to just take it in, right? We got to taste it. We got to take it in. And God has this feast stored for us in that place of refuge. Hey, just come over here. Remember when the disciples were wandering after the resurrection? And he says, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. They were in Jerusalem. He goes, go north back to the Galilee where we all met in the first place. Peter denied him three times. They were out on the boat fishing, right? And so Jesus was making dinner or breakfast on the seashore. They just saw a miracle. The fish just coming in. And John goes, Peter, that's Jesus on the shore. He's the one who called out and said, cast your nets over here. And Peter jumped out of the boat, swam naked to Jesus, took off his clothes and just... Because Peter needed a moment with the Lord. It's like, I got to see him once again. And Jesus had this little meal on the seashore ready for him. He says, hey guys, just come on over. He says, do you love me? Right, to Peter three times. Do you love me? Guys, get your emotions back on God's goodness and his love for him. Because he's good and he loves us. I want to show you a couple other slides as we close out today. Go back to the other two. It should be another one. Yes, once you have feasted on the goodness of God, notice what this says. Nothing else will satisfy. Is that true for you? Let's read the next one. When you're overwhelmed with the goodness of God to you, you overflow with the goodness of God to others. It's like once you've been fully blessed, you want to be a blessing. Does that make sense? Let's go to the last one here. The final one, the one you just had, the Romans 2:4. Yes, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. In Romans chapter 2, Paul is dealing with the foundation of the gospel. And he's talking about God's goodness, his riches of his goodness and kindness to us. And here's what he says. Some people despise the goodness and mercy of God. But he says, don't you realize that God's goodness actually should lead you to repentance or change? It's like, well, how does God get us to change? He just keeps being good to us. What? We don't deserve that. But he's like, you know, I have so much in store for you. Let me just give you a taste of my goodness, and that goodness changes us. And it draws us to Jesus who died for us. Wow. this is going to be hard for me to share. This year has been a crazy, crazy year. And with my dad in the car, we were coming down the first, coming from the first hospital visit where they diagnosed him with cancer. They confirmed it. And this song comes on the radio. You ever just have those moments where, like, God just brings a song your way? And you're like, where did that come from? It's like, that had to come from you. And God put this song on the radio. And so we're going to put it on Facebook for those who are going to watch later. And so I just want to share this song with you that my dad and I shared. And in that moment when life got crazy real quick, and every time I hear that song, it just reminds me of that car ride. We're having all those questions go through our minds about the days to come. What should we do? How are we going to respond to all of this? What is God up to with this? How is God going to use this? The amazing thing is when my dad shared his testimony here, he did it before at Hope's Point, his home church, the week before he came here. And as he shared his testimony, a young man came to know Jesus as his Savior. And guess what his name was? Danny, my dad's name. God, and my dad immediately is like, this is what God had in store. If it saved this one person, it was worth it. My dad chose to respond in a heavenly way through all of this. And maybe you're going through some tough times. And I just want to encourage you. Let this song be a blessing to you as it is for me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for being our refuge in times of trouble, in times of uncertainty. Lord, you're the only certain thing in this life. And so, Lord, we look to you for help. We look to you for courage and encouragement. That you will minister to our souls like no other. And Lord, I just pray for folks who are dealing with a lot of different things out there. Lord, that you would just show your mighty hand in a mighty way. Lord, that you would help them heal, help them be stronger through this. Help them draw closer to you through all of this. Help them sing and rejoice in the midst of all that they're going through. Help them have that cave moment that David had with you, where he just got his soul recentered in the goodness of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.